Please be seated and good morning. The Bible reading today is from Psalm 116, and I'd like to read that to you now. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me! The Lord is gracious. The Lord is righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, had delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant. Lord, I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of the people, in the courts of the house of the Lord. In your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you are so good and we so undeserving. Yet you are faithful and so often we fail. Yet you are loving and gracious and listen to our cry. We thank you that from the depths of despair and lost in sin and degradation, we cried out, Lord, save me. And you did. And we want to praise your name today as we rejoice together in this psalm that's set before us, that our hearts may be filled with thanksgiving and expectancy, and every moment of every day may be lived for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning again. Christmas has passed. The New Year's just around the corner. And here we are in the midst of them. Now, I don't propose to go into New Year's resolutions. They're useless. I love the one I love at the little boy who said, I resolve to come at once whenever I am called. Because my father's bought a hairbrush and he's bald. So you can just imagine what was going to happen to him. Well, I want to reflect a little bit on Christmas. As a season of love, God so loved the world. But I would also like to reflect a little time on unto us a child is born. And the giving and the receiving of gifts. Children at Christmas time. Can some of you remember when you were a child? No, none of you can remember that far back. It is a bit difficult, isn't it? But for those of you who have children or grandchildren, you may have taken notice that they've been busy writing out their little lists of what they want for Christmas. And some of them, perhaps, when they get their gift, if they do, they'll be glad that they took notice of what their mum or dad had said, you better be good, or Santa won't be coming. And for a week or two, perhaps they were pretty good. Waiting for Christmas. And then Christmas morning. Oh, What a wonderful time it was, opening those presents, laughing and shouting and playing together. And if your kids were anything like us when we were kids, we would often say, well, what did you get for Christmas? Wondering whether they got something better than we did. But, you know, and then they might swap. And then they might seek to take somebody else's gift and make it their own. And you can put all sorts of things on Christmas morning, after we'd been to church, we had a time of gift giving, and two of our families had their dogs there. And it was so interesting because the dogs had special gifts for themselves, and they were so excited about it, and they would play with their own gifts, and then they look over and they'd see something over there and they go over. So dogs were crossing over and their toys going everywhere. There wasn't much mess made there that day, but sometimes after Christmas there's a lot of mess, isn't there? Johnny had been pretty bad after Christmas. He'd thrown his papers all around the place. There was a horrible mess. And he was really angry at his mum and he was very, very nasty to her. And he was sent to his room. After about half an hour, Johnny comes down to mum, busy in the kitchen, and he says, mum, I've tidied up my room. Not a word from mum. A little while later, mum, can I run some messages for you? Not a word from mum. Mum, can I do the dishes? And at this most unusual request, not a word from mum. And then Johnny comes up and he puts his arms around his mum and he says, I'm sorry, mum. Mum puts her arms around him and says, Johnny, that's just what I wanted to hear. Now you can do the dishes. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's not just a matter of being thankful to God for the most undescribable, unimaginable gift. He gave his son. And on Christmas Day, Christmas morning, we celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus Christ. And we have joy to the world, and that's the joy that comes from Jesus, the joy that he wants to spread throughout all the world. And so many treat it lightly. They take the cup of good cheer, but they don't take, as the psalmist said, the cup of salvation. I had planned today to have a soloist come and sing a great and wonderful song that I wanted him to sing. And he's so good that two of the residents in the village heard about it and they came to hear Sid sing. But he's not here. All right? However, Mark industriously worked around things and he's got the message of the song that I want to share with you today. Thanks, Mark.
Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood he has saved me. With his
how beautifully those words convey the message of Psalm 116 and the journey from the depths of despair, being lost, away from God, not even caring about him, being entangled and then set free by God's grace. By his blood he has saved me, by his power he has raised me. Give thanks for all the things that God has done. You know, there's a man in England who used to meet with us here, and he watches this service regularly. And I know that he will be listening, watching, and remembering his time here. And just last week, he sent a message to convey to you thanksgiving for the times that he spent here. And now he's back in the UK. And if you happen to be watching, brother, bless you and have a happy new year. Psalm 116, and that was the one that I chose to bring to you today as we commence summer in the Psalms. And we had a little gathering with Nathan and those of us who will be speaking. And I learned something. I learned that not all of the Psalms were written by David, but I was quite sure that Psalm 116 was. But then they drew out and they said, no, that was written by somebody else. Okay, I was prepared to accept that. Then the next day I just happened to be reading in the Psalms and I came to Psalm 18. And goodness gracious me, one was almost a copy of the other for a major part of it. Now, I don't know whether the other guy who wrote Psalm 116 had a sneak peek at what David had been rewriting in the previous psalm. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it was David or whether it was somebody else. What matters is that it was a word, a message from the Lord. And I wanted to share that with you today because it's a fulfillment of the promises of God that he has made down through the ages. The Psalms are full of despair and deliverance. And on the other hand, prayer, praise and promises with a frequent expression of thanksgiving. And I have chosen the following headings in the light of my previous comments on Christmas. What do we require from God? Well, verse 1 of the psalm says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. That's what he wanted. That's what the psalmist wanted. And that's what we need. We need the merciful God to forgive us for all that we have done. Again, in the Bible we read, great is his faithfulness. His mercy endures forever. His mercies are new every morning. And as we were reminded in our message today that Wes brought to us on communion, new every morning. And that means every morning of every day of every life that has ever lived, who has ever made a commitment of themselves to God through faith in what Christ has done, we receive that mercy. We receive that forgiveness. And we do so with thanksgiving. And so every day of our life is not to be lived just as the joy and celebration of Christmas morning, but the joy and celebration that Jesus Christ is alive, new in our hearts and lives, enabling us to live each day. That's what we want from God. None of the mundane things of this world. Oh yes, they're important, they're helpful. I don't mind a good feed. I love a holiday. But most of all, I love to feed on God's word. And I love to rest. Just as the psalmist said there, rest to his soul when he found that merciful God. Verse 3 reminds me of the disappointment of a child when they don't get what they want. The broken heart of someone who has lost a loved one, as many of our friends have done this year. And my sister, now over in the West, having lost her heart when her husband passed away just before Christmas. And some of you here today in this place have lost their loved ones now. And then there's another expression of a broken heart, a jilted lover. Someone who has just depended so much upon someone else and they've let you down. The Lord heals the brokenhearted. He binds up the wounded. He comforts those who mourn. And Psalm 116 speaks to us about all of that. Verses 4 to 6, just reiterate them. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Have you called on the name of the Lord for your salvation, or are you still muddling along? Perhaps bound still, captive to your sin? I called on the name of the Lord, and he saved me. Scripture tells us this again and again. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. So when we come to realize that we can do nothing of ourselves, no good deeds, no good works, no promises, nothing. We can't save ourselves. We are dependent solely upon the Lord. And that's what we need. That's what God answers our need and satisfies our souls with him. So what do we receive from the Lord? Well, exactly what the psalmist says. Psalm of the salvation. That's what he gave. I will take the cup of salvation. Salvation is offered to us as a free gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. And not a life that's wrecked with pain and suffering and heartbreak and heartache, but with his love, with all of those attributes that we see and hear about God in Christ, to be shared with us, his children, when we accept the salvation that he offers to us. The little boy or the little girl, when they received their Christmas gift, for some it was exciting, for others it was a bit disappointing, and for some it was totally unexpected, undeserved, and yet came to be so deeply appreciated. You ever had anything like that? Ever had a gift that you don't deserve it, and yet it's been given to you freely? So exciting. And whatever gifts you may have received in life, the gift that God offers to you is salvation. Freedom from the past, forgiveness for all those things you've done that were wrong, and a new birth, starting all over again. That's what we receive from God. I'm going to skip the next few verses. I just want to go on to verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. What are you going to do with that cup of salvation that's offered to you? This morning we had a communion time together, and the bread and the cup of juice was passed around. Some of you took it because you have given your life to Christ. Some of you realise that you need that. You need that salvation. And when you commit your life to Christ, you can share together in that cup of salvation. You can share together in this joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what God has given to us. And what does God require from us? Well, he says, and I think we've got Micah 6 verse 8, which probably will come up. How can we repay God? Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Christmas Day was over. There was a mess everywhere, and the naughty Johnny had to learn to say, sorry, Mum, and accept the forgiveness and mercy that she offered to him. And like Johnny, we need to do the dishes. We need to live our life for God's glory. We need to be his witnesses in the community, in our families, in our streets, in our neighbourhood. Can't do it in school for the next few weeks, but when you're back there, in school, wherever you may be, out on the sporting field, we need to be living the life that Jesus Christ showed us by his life on earth. We can't do it on our own. We need that salvation. We need to accept the reality that we need to be saved. And having accepted that, then to experience the reality of Christ living in us. Some of you like music, I know that. Just imagine that Beethoven lived in you. What great music you could compose. Some of us like athletics. Imagine what it would be like if we had one of those gold medal winners in athletics living within us. How we could live, how we could do the things that we wanted to do. But a greater indwelling presence is the Spirit of God that enables the writer in the New Testament to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because you're never left alone. Jesus made that promise. I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm giving you my Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ comes with that acceptance of him as our Saviour. And now, filled with the very life of Christ, we are to do the dishes. We are to live the life of Christ in the world in which we live. How can we repay God? Well, we can't. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness toward me? Well, I can't help him with creation because he's done that. And I can't help him with salvation because he's done that. So what can I do? I can take the cup of salvation and I can drink it deep and I can say, thank you, God. The Bible is so full of promises concerning how we are to live our life. Verse 17, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. A thank offering. A thank offering is not something that's just once. It's a continuous expression of our thanks. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So every day we should begin by thanking God for this day and for the opportunities that are there for us to live for him. What did our song say? A million angels could not express my gratitude, but you can. We can. I can. Say thanks to God for every day of our life. By the power, by his blood he has saved me. By his power he has raised me. And now I belong to Jesus. In the past, I messed up and I stressed up. And then I confessed up. And then I received forgiveness. And now I'm doing the dishes. Not grudgingly, but with an attitude of gratitude. Just a few New Testament verses for you to consider in case you think I'm making that all up. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Waiting for it to come. There it is. So then, just as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives for him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 4 to 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and thanksgiving, with petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We pray often, don't we? Well, I don't know about you, but I do. And when you pray, you make your request to God, but you ever stop to thank him? Because before we call, he hears. And whatever we request, he listens. And he gives us, sometimes not always the things that we might have wanted, but he gives us the very best. No wonder we can have joy in our life. Rejoice always. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always and pray continually. Now, how is it possible to pray continually? I'll tell you how. Talk to yourself. But not yourself. Talk to the Spirit of God within you. Live your life in the presence of God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit of God, living it in the lives of all who have committed their life to Christ. And so we can pray continually. Our life is to be always a daily prayer. We should be a walking around prayer, offering thanks to God for all that he has done. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, if you can keep that in mind, no matter what happens in our life, this is God's will for you. And we need to be thanking him and rejoicing in it. My favourite little story, and I use this as we bring to our time to a close. There are twin boys. And one of them had a very positive attitude to life. And the other was much like most of the Christians that I know, quite negative, without a smile on their faces, always down in the mouth. And the parents were a bit concerned about why these children could be so different. And so they tried an experiment according to the psychologist, and he said, look, I think if you can surround the child with things that really are important to them, then that might help them. So they got the poor little negative boy and they put him into a room, and it was filled with presents, more than any kid ever got at Christmas time, filled with every conceivable toy that would bring joy to a kid's heart. And they shut the door, walked away. They took the little positive boy and they put him into a room, and it was filled up with horse manure. Oh, smell was something terrible. Shut the door, left him away. An hour later, they came back to the little positive boy, and he was sitting on the floor crying his eyes out. I mean, the little negative boy, sitting there crying his eyes out. And they said, why are you crying? You've got all these things to enjoy. No, I'm crying. I'm so sad. Why, they said. Well, if I played with them, I'd break something and then I'd be in trouble. No wonder I'm so sad. Well, they were thunderstruck. So they went along to the other room. And here's the other little boy, there's horse manure going all over the place like that, kids shouting and laughing. And they said to them, why are you so happy? He said, you can't fool me. There's got to be a pony in here somewhere. So there's a lot of rubbish in the world, friends. There's a lot of things that are not particularly nice. And things like that will happen in your life. And you've got a choice. You've got to be down in the mouth. Or you've got to say in every situation, there's got to be a pony in there somewhere because God has promised it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come now and just bring this time a celebration to close. It is a great celebration, Lord. We have so much for which to be thankful. We want to drink deeply of the cup of salvation. We don't want to just sip at it. We want to be filled to overflowing with your indwelling spirit. Not just for ourselves, but for those around us, that they might come to see and know the salvation that is to be found, not in that Christ child alone, but as he grew, lived, and died, and then rose triumphantly from the grave, and one day coming back again. You are a great God, and to you we give you all the glory for all that you have done. Thank you, Father. Amen.